Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. It can be found on pages 13 and 14 in your New Testament. Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the lake. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and he sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. This is holy wisdom, holy word. Last weekend, Deborah Ford and I took a group of our high school teens into Baltimore for an overnight retreat. Leading this retreat was the Center, which is a mission partner of the Presbytery of Baltimore. The Center is located in Mount Vernon, and their facility is attached to First and Franklin Presbyterian Church. The retreat was short. It's an overnight on Friday at the Center and a day of service in Baltimore on Saturday. The director, Kate Foster Connors, finds us a service opportunity for Saturday, and then during our Friday night program, prepares us for what we are about to do on Saturday. And as she prepares us, we discover that we are not just participating in a service project on Saturday. We are participating in the overarching mission of God and the mission of the church. After being told we would be working with an organization called Civic Works and planting trees in East Baltimore, our Friday night program began with a short video about the Bowery, which is a neighborhood in South Manhattan in New York City. The video described the impact community gardening can have on an urban landscape. So in the early 1970s, the Bowery had fallen on hard times until Liz Christie got the okay from the city to take a large rubble-filled lot and make it into a community garden. And slowly, over the next months and years, more residents of the Bowery became involved. And after the success of this garden, more and more gardens started to spring up in the neighborhood. People started to take pride in their surroundings. The community came together, and change started to slowly happen. So after watching the video, we wrestled with scripture from Isaiah and from Matthew and how it directly applied to what we'd be doing on Saturday. And we eventually got a little sleep. On Saturday, we arrived at the lot where we'd be serving on North Bethel Street. The lot was previously filled with row homes that had recently been torn down. Surrounding the lot were sets of row homes, some filled with life, others absolutely vacant. In the row homes directly in front of the lot where we were, only one was inhabited out of eight. And the four at the end had signs on them saying that they would soon be torn down. As the Civic Works staff slowly pulled shovels and pickaxes out of their truck, to the right, you could see where they had placed a community garden. And our task for the morning, along with one other group from a school in Howard County, was to plant 3 trees. Dig 3 holes and plant 3 trees. Much easier said than done. For a couple hours, we went back and forth between pickaxe and shovel, chopping up the dirt and shoveling it out. During lunch, we sat by the garden admiring our hard work over the last 3 hours. And as we talked and laughed, I looked out upon the lot and the row homes that surrounded it and thought to myself, what we're doing here is just a drop in the bucket. We've really just scratched the surface and planted one little seed in the ground today. We could take that same pessimistic view of the sower in Jesus' parable from Matthew. The sower, it seems, is extremely reckless with the distribution of seed. Instead of taking great care to sow seeds in good soil that has access to an abundant amount of sunlight, the sower liberally throws seeds everywhere. And the seed lands on walking paths, on rocky ground, and among thorns, which are not ideal for seeds to grow and to flourish. We can ask ourselves the question, why then sow seeds where they are not likely to grow? Is this really a best practice for agricultural productivity and success? Maybe not. There are multiple angles from which to observe this parable, which is what makes it a fantastic parable. We could take a look at the 4 areas where the seed lands and what they each might represent. We could look at the good soil and what makes it good. But this morning, instead of those vantage points, I'd like to focus on the character traits of the sower. What does this parable tell us about the sower? First, regardless of what happens to the seeds after they are planted, the seeds the sower plants are good news. They are the good news of the gospel. They are the message of love and forgiveness and hope and peace and justice, of reconciliation and new life that is the kingdom that Jesus came to announce. The sower sows seeds of good news. Second, it's true, the sower is not concerned with where the seeds land. And maybe that's because the sower is not concerned with only throwing seed where it will definitely grow, but is concerned with sharing the good news of God's love everywhere, even in areas where the soil is not ripe and not yet ready for growth. Because that is apparently who the sower is, and that is what this sower does. And third, the purpose of this sower is simply to sow seeds of good news. That is who the sower is at the core of their being. Which then begs us to ask the question, well then who is the sower? God? Yes, absolutely. But to dig a little deeper, who is sharing these seeds of good news right here and right now today? Is it a missionary or an evangelist? Is it a pastor? Sure. But it's more than just those. The church, all of us, are called to sow seeds and be planters of the good news of God's love. All of us, Towson Presbyterian Church, are called to sow seeds of good news. We are in stewardship season here at TPC, as Mitch shared. And what I appreciate about stewardship here is that it's not only about money. The financial gifts you give the TPC are obviously extremely important. However, they're just one piece of the pie. Here at TPC, we view stewardship as your financial gifts as well as the time you give and the gifts and the talents that are in each of you that you put to use to serve God and to help us fulfill our mission. Which is why we gather together. We gather as an inclusive community of faith so we can together grow as disciples of Christ. And if we're going to grow, as our mission statement says, if we're going to fulfill our mission, we need to be throwing a lot of seed around. We need to throw seeds everywhere. By sowing seeds with our finances, but also with our time and with our talents. Because we have good news to share. We have the good news of God's love in our hands, in our mouths, waiting to be planted because we believe that that good news is transforming. It has the power to produce what the end of the parable says, 100-fold of grain, which was really a miracle. This parable ends with an absolute miracle. A crop of 30 from a seed would have fed a village for a year. 100-fold of grain would have been an astronomical, off-the-chart amount of growth. And so I wonder if in this parable, Jesus is inviting people of faith to be a people who see the possibility and the promise. To be a people whose glass is half full instead of half empty. I wonder if he's inviting us to trust that the seeds of the good news of God that we plant have the potential to transform our lives and those who are outside these four walls. I wonder if he is daring us to trust that the seeds we plant have the power to change each of us and our surrounding community. Last weekend, after planting our trees and eating lunch, we drove to another lot 3 minutes away that has already undergone a transformation. Surrounded by four roads and once filled with row homes, this lot is now home to something called the Flower Factory. As Google Maps took me to this address, I was looking for a building with a sign on it that said the Flower Factory. After circling it twice, I realized that this field of dead sunflowers right in front of me was the Flower Factory. Working the field was a man named Walker. Walker grew up 10 minutes away, and after seeing a need, he got permission from the city, he filed for a grant to take this abandoned lot and turn it into a field of flowers. Throughout the afternoon, our group pulled sunflowers up from the ground and plucked seeds from the head, the heads that Walker will use for next year's crop. Walker is literally and he is figuratively sowing seeds of the good news of God's love. He is sowing seeds of hope and peace and God's promise of new life. And I've been thinking this week about what to say regarding Tuesday's election and the immense division that we have in our country right now. And what I want to say this morning fits into what I'm trying to say in this sermon. That the seeds of good news, the good news of God's love and hope and peace and justice and reconciliation and new life are resting in our hands and they are waiting to be sown everywhere. So let us go out and let us sow them. Our country and our world desperately need them. Towards the end of the day at the Flower Factory, I walked over to my car to get some water. On my way back, I noticed two people, Kate and Chris, who were working in our lot just off to the side, and they were slowly tilling the ground. After introducing myself and telling them what we were doing at the flower factory that day, I asked them, "What brings you here?" And Kate responded, "We live just 10 minutes down the road. And after Freddie Gray, we knew we had to do something. But we had no idea what that was. In many ways, we were overwhelmed. We still are. But then we heard about the flower factory, and we came over and we met Walker, and we knew this was something we just had to be a part of." And then Kate rested her arm on her shovel and she looked out into the surrounding neighborhood. Some homes filled with life and some absolutely vacant. And she said, "And so today I'm going to plant these bulbs. May it be so for you and for me. Amen."